بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد We come to the last of the lessons from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which we need to apply to ourselves and this has to do with the issue of relationships relating to one another. Now if you see the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the biggest miracles that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed was the creation of the Ummah, was the creation of the brotherhood of faith. I am saying this is a miracle because, especially in today's context, because we can see how difficult this task is. If any one of us wants to do it, and I am sure all of us want to do it, this is probably the most difficult thing you can imagine. Yet, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to do this. He was able to form these relationships of brotherhood which were not temporary, which were not transient, which lasted. They lasted at least for the lifetime of the people that who were there, who were involved, with whom these relationships were formed. And of course, in many cases, they also lasted for generations after that. And to some extent, I don't say that, I mean, obviously we are not anywhere close to the Sahaba, but to some extent, even to this day, no matter how many, how divided we are, to this day, every Muslim knows the happiness he feels when he sees another Muslim or when he meets another Muslim in some other part of the world. We have all been, alhamdulillah, we all know this, we all have been, we have enjoyed this. So anywhere in the world you go, complete strangers, you don't know who they are. Somebody looks at you, recognizes you because of your face and so on and says, Assalamu alaikum, you feel very happy. You say, Wa alaikum assalam. Or you see a Muslim, a person who obviously looks like a Muslim, and you feel happy looking at them, you feel happy meeting them. We are all aware of the kind of happiness we feel when we walk into a masjid, small or big, anywhere in the world. Even though we are very divided and so on, no doubt about that. But at the same time, this barakah of the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, alhamdulillah, continues in the ummah even to this day. So I think this is something we should feel happy about because this is unique to this ummah, alhamdulillah. You go there and you feel, any masjid in the world, you go and sit there, you feel peaceful. You say, alhamdulillah, this is my place. This is something that's very important. So this issue of relationships of the brotherhood of faith, how did this happen? If you look at the challenge that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, it's not as if it would be very incorrect for us to say that, you know, after all those people were Arabs. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as an Arab. Right? They were divided and they were identified by their tribes, by their clans. So first by their tribes and then in the tribe itself by the clan. They did not think of themselves as Arabs. I mean, generally speaking, overall umbrella, yes. But if you ask the person, who are you? He would say, I'm from Quraysh. And then he said, and from where? Then he would say, I'm from Banu Hashim, which was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's family. So, people were identified by their tribes and clans. Take for example, after the Khilafah Rashida, the two big Muslim empires that formed, what are they called? They're not called Arab. They're called Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas. The Umayyads and the Abbasis, right? Why do you say that? Why don't you say Arabs? They were all Arabs. Because that is not how the identification was. The identification was by their tribe. And then there was also, there were other things. The other things were the issue of dealing with foreigners. So there were people who were, once you came out of the tribe and clan boundary, then there was the boundary of Arab and non-Arab. In Arab and non-Arab, also there were gradations. So you had the blacks, African people were the bottom of the pile, right? Then you had somebody, you know, say the Persians or someone or the Romans and, you know, all of this. So different people from different places, there were those divisions also. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he faced that challenge, it was as much of a challenge, if not more of a challenge, as it is for us today. Because another thing to remember is that no matter, you know, we are divided, but by and large, I know there are individual places where sadly Muslims are killing each other, but that's not a common thing. It's a, you know, it's a isolated in some places. Every other place, alhamdulillah, even though they are divided and so on, it's not, there's no violence. But with the clan, you know, almost like gang wars, I mean, there used to be these vendettas that were between clans, where people had to, you had to sleep with your sword in your hand. Things were not safe. So, there was all those tensions also, there were the tensions of clan and this and that. So, despite all that, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was able to bring people together on one issue of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and he was able to create a brotherhood of faith among them, as I said, which lasted, and which mahak of that, the aroma of that, the fragrance of that exists, alhamdulillah, even to this day. How did he do that? And a single word for that, if I can say that in one word, that word is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Every relationship in the world needs forgiveness. Whether it is the relationship between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His abd, we need forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah did not forgive us, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply gave us what is due to us, not one single person, living person, would remain alive in the world. Just that one thing, and this is in the Quran as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Allah said, if Allah was to punish, nothing would be alive anymore. So we need forgiveness, even in the relationship of the Rabb and the Abd. Then coming down from there, we need forgiveness among relationships amongst ourselves, parents and children, we need forgiveness. Husband and wife, we need forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, we need forgiveness. Our friends, our colleagues, our employees, our employers, right? People who govern us, the governors and the governed, you name it, every single relationship needs forgiveness in it, if that relationship is to last. If there is no forgiveness, if people are stockpiling grievances, then no relationship can survive, no matter what. Nothing at all. There is not a single relationship in the world. There is no friendship that is so deep, there is no relationship that is so strong, that can survive grievances being stockpiled in the heart. It has to break. It will break one day without a doubt. And we have ample evidence of this in our own lives, as well as in, if you look around us, we can see that this is true. This is the nature of the human being. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the door of forgiveness for Himself also open. He kept the door of tawbah wal istighfar for us open. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged us to forgive each other. Let us forgive each other. Because without forgiveness, we cannot survive. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, not only did he promote this forgiveness And the Sahaba accepted this and they forgave each other, and that's why they formed these bonds of brotherhood which are exemplary. There's never been anything like that in history. But he also demonstrated his forgiveness in his own life by forgiving those who had wronged him. Now, if you think of the kind of things that they did to him, I can probably safely say that, illa mashallah, except for people who in war zones and things like this, there's no end to human cruelty, so I won't take a bet on that. But ordinary people like us, alhamdulillah, Allah has kept us safe and Allah has kept us in an environment of izzah. None of us has ever felt the kind of things that Rasulullah ﷺ felt. He was maligned. He was character assassinated. Then physically he was harmed. And then they tried to kill him. Not once, several times. He was grievously injured. How many times? Many times these things happened. Not that they happened, one time. These things continued to happen, including after he went to Medina. The instance of Rasulullah ﷺ being given some food which was poisoned was in Medina. One Sahabi died in that instance. Jibreel ﷺ came and told Nabi ﷺ not to eat. This happened in Medina. So, the thing continued, but Rasulullah's attitude was always an attitude of forgiveness. Two stories which come to mind, maybe I'll tell you one today and one tomorrow, Allah Haram. One is the story of Al-Wahshi radiallahu anhu. Some people went to Wahshi radiallahu anhu, long after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and they asked him, they said, tell us, how did you kill Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu? So Wahshi said, I will tell you the story as I told it to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, after Fateh Makkah, there was a warrant out for me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave everybody. But there were seven people for him. He said, these are to be killed. Even if you find them hanging from the Kiswa of the Kaaba, they should be killed. So, there were seven people. One of them was Wahshi. So, he said, I escaped. I went off to Taif. And then Taif fell. Taif was conquered. So, now I had no place to go. So, I said, I will leave Arabia itself and run away. So he said, one of my friends told me, how far will you run? How long will you run? One day somebody will find you and then they will kill you. So he said, what shall I do? So his friend said to him, go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and seek his forgiveness and accept Islam. If you do that, then he will forgive you. He said, how can he forgive me after what I have done? He said, no, he is like that. He will forgive you. Go and ask him to forgive you, he will forgive you. So, Vashi said, I decided to do that. So, he said, I covered myself up. I even covered my face. Only my eyes were showing. And he said, I went and sat in front of Mr. Sallam. And I put out my hand and I said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. I have come to accept Islam. Please accept my Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted his Islam. Then he said, who are you? Vashi said, then I removed my face covering. And he said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw me. Then he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, tell me, how did you kill my uncle? So Vashi said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I had nothing against your uncle. He was not my enemy. I did not have anything against him. He said, I was a slave. And my master said to me, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam killed my uncle, so I want to kill his uncle. Now, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually did not kill anybody's uncle. He didn't kill anybody. But the uncle of this man was one of the people who was killed in the Battle of Badr. So he died, he went to fight, he died. But this man had this hatred. So he said to Vashi, if you can kill the uncle of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then I will give you freedom. Vashi said, for a slave to get freedom, there is nothing more than that. So he said, I am good with a spear. So I took my spear. He said, I went to Uhud. I had no agenda other than this. I didn't go to fight the Muslims. I was not an enemy of the Muslims. I was not part of the army, nothing. He said, I had only one point agenda, which is to kill Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu anhu, because this would buy me my freedom. So he said, I took my spear and I went. And he said, I very stealthily followed Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu anhu. He said, Hamza was like a lion. He said he was fighting with two swords, no shield, one sword in each hand. And he said he was fighting, his eyes were everywhere, and I was frightened for my own life. He said, I hid behind a rock. Hamza radiallahu anhu was fighting one of the enemy, and he said he cut the enemy with his sword, and he said the sword went through the body of the enemy from one side to the other. He said, the man said to Hamza, you missed. And he said, Hamza told him, take one step forward. He said, he took one step forward and the body broke into two. So the sword went through the body so fast. Imagine the power of that blow that the man didn't even feel it. He said, at that point in time, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu relaxed. He said, Vahshi said, radiallahu anhu, I saw my chance. From behind the rock, I threw my spear. And he said, my spear entered his body from the chest, went down like this. He said, even in that stage, Hamza turned around, he saw me. And Vashi said, I thought I was finished. He will kill me. But he said, the wound was too much, the spear through his whole body. And he fell. Vashi said, I waited for a long time to make sure he was dead. I didn't want to go near him. He said, once I knew he had died, I went, I pulled out my spear and I went back home. He said, I did not do anything to anybody. I didn't fight anyone. I didn't do anything. This is the story. Now see the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was weeping throughout the story. His tears were flowing from his eyes. Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu was one of his first supporters. He was his milk brother. He was his uncle, but they were the same age. And he was one of his closest friends. And he was also his uncle. So, he was related to him and one of his dearest friends, one of his earliest supporters. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved him very much. Now, when he died, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wept so much, people said nobody wept as much as that. 70 Sahaba died in Uhud. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept the body of Hamza there and he prayed janaza on 70 people while the body of Hamza was right there. So, Hamza radiallahu anhu had Salatul Janaza prayed by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself on him 70 times. This was Hamza. So now this is the story of the killer of Hamza radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to Vahshi, he says to him, he said, I have forgiven you. He said, when you come into my majlis, my request is, don't sit in front of me, sit to the side somewhere or sit behind. Because when I see you, the grief of Hamza gets rekindled in my heart. Imagine, this is the rahmah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ajib. Even there, he is not telling the man, okay, now I've told the story, now get out of my face, I don't want to see you again, never come back. I've forgiven you. You won't be killed, but, disappear. Don't come back again. He didn't say that. He said, you come, no problem. But just don't sit in front. Now imagine there, one is it kindles rekindles the grief. And second thing is, it is for the benefit of Vahshi himself, radiallahu anhu. Because who knows? This happens a few times. Who knows what happens in the heart of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He is human after all. And then what will happen to Vashi? Yeah? So the issue is the rahmah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To close the story, Bashir radhiyallahu anhu said that I asked Allah. He said, "Oh Allah, make me do something which can counter what I have done." So he said that in the battle against Musaylimah al-Kazzab, Wahshi was the one who finally killed Musaylimah al-Kazzab. There was Abu Dujana and Wahshi, two people. Abu Dujana had the sword of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he also cut Musaylimah, and Wahshi threw a spear, and wallah alam which one was the mortal wound, but they both resulted in Musaylimah al-Kazzab being killed. Wahshi said, "Alhamdulillah, with this spear, I killed the best of people and I killed the worst of people." This was the issue of forgiveness of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll see the other story, bismillah ta'ala. My point for myself and you is, look in your heart and say, who do you want to forgive now? At the end of the day, the purpose of all of this is to say, how can I bring this into my life? And that is what we need to do. We need to forgive each other and seek forgiveness from each other and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ